Okay, so we're discussing contemporary issues, and since this week is Pesach, I'm going to discuss Bedikas Chametz. You wouldn't necessarily think that Bedikas Chametz, there are so many contemporary things to talk about, but as we'll see, that there are, in fact, a lot of issues that somehow were not as relevant in earlier times. So, just in terms of what the makor for the bedika is, Rashi says in source 1, Bokin Shalayav Rav Abayi Rav Ayimotze. Why do we do bedika? To avoid the Isra Abayi Rav Ayimotze. You're not allowed to own chametz, so you do bedika to make sure that you don't own any chametz. Tosa says, how could that be that the bedika is to avoid Abayi Rav Ayimotze? Meaning, we have to do bitul chametz. Bitul chametz means I'm nullifying all chametz. Whether it means hefker, whether it means that we just treat the chametz like nothing. So you have to do bitul even if you do bedika. So, and bitul works on the deraisa level. So how can Rashi say that the bedika, Rashi implies that bedika is deraisa? So the Ran says that really either one works on the deraisa level. Either you could do bedika, and that will work on the deraisa level. You check your whole house, you make sure there's no chametz. That should be enough on the deraisa level. But midraban, and we do bittul in case you missed something. On the flip side, you could do bittul on the deraisa level, and you still have to check your house for chametz, because if you're mavatel an intimate donut, it's not going to help prevent you from eating it. So if you find a donut on Pesach, you might eat it. The bittul only helps for ownership, it doesn't help for the iser of eating chametz. Okay, so that's basically the framework of it. Now, what's the difference if bedika is deraisa or drabanan? So the Beis Yosef points out one issue might be with regards to a suffix. You're not sure. How are you not sure? You go through a whole bedika, you don't remember if you did it or not. Whatever, there are cases. And one of those cases is the following. Let's say you check the whole house. You know the whole thing is clean. Then, you know, we'll discuss the 10 crumbs in a little bit. But you put out the 10 crumbs, and you only find 9 of them. So if bedika chametz was deraisa, you'd have to check the whole house, turn the whole thing upside down until you find that last crumb. But the Zeramis points out that if it's drabanan, then you do bittul, and hopefully, you know, we use small crumbs, so hopefully it's not significant enough that if you find that you're going to eat it behind, you know, find a crumb behind the radiator or wherever you put it, that you're going to eat it. So you look your best for it, but you don't have to redo the entire bedika process again just because you lost that crumb. It's a good idea to write to whoever puts them away, to write down where they are, but at least b'dieved, you have that Zera Emes to rely on. Okay, now the Gemara says that you have to do bedika at night, l'ora ner, you have to use a candle, because during the daytime, you know, there's too much light, the light's too dispersed, and you're not going to check, you're not going to find things in the cracks and crevices. The Trumas Hadeshin says, well, what if you don't do bedika per se, but you sweep the house, or in modern terms, you use a vacuum cleaner? So he says there's two reasons why that's no good. Number one, sweeping is not bedika. A broom can only get into certain places. It doesn't get into the cracks and crevices. And their houses in earlier times had larger cracks and crevices than ours. But, you know, the broom doesn't get everything. And number two, the bedika has to be performed at night, and people generally don't sweep at night. You have to be the night of the 14th. So even if you clean the whole house well, that's not enough. So Shulchan Aruch writes in Source 8, HaMechabed Chedro B'Yagibu B'Nis, and if you swept your house on the 13th, and you had Kavanah, the Bedikas Chametz, that's not good enough, you have to check again on the 14th. Okay. So the Magen Avraham says, yeah, that's great. That if you're going to say that sweeping's not enough, it's one thing, but if you really checked, and the only problem is that you did it too early, or you did it during the day, so then it should be enough. You know the house is clean. All you need to do is check one room. That's what the Magen Avraham says. The Mishnah Berurah is not so keen about that. He thinks that and it's not so clear that checking one room should be enough. But more contemporary poskim point out, and this is the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Mishnah Berurah quotes this Emek Halacha, who's Rav Zev Wolf of Zettel, 19th century, that since people nowadays, meaning even in that time, people, you know, don't wait until Leil B'Digas Chametz to clean their house for Pesach, And, you know, it's very rare that you're going to find anything besides the 10 crumbs. So maybe the 10 crumbs is really required. Medina, the Ramah writes that Nohagin Laniach Psisei Chametz, this is in Taf Lamed Beis, Sif Aleph, that we do put out the 10 crumbs, but he writes in Lo Nasa and Lo Ikev, it's not critical to put out the 10 crumbs. So the Emek Halacha says maybe that's not the case. If you really thoroughly clean the whole house and you know for sure that you're really not going to find anything, so maybe you do have to put out the 10 crumbs. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach has a different approach to this, and this I think is a very pragmatic approach. He says, this is what you do. You can check the whole house, meaning you clean the whole house upside down. So what do you do on Leil Bedikas Chametz? You don't just look for the 10 crumbs and finish. What you do is you go to, you say, did somebody check this drawer? Yes. Did somebody check this drawer? Yes. And then you can skip it. Did somebody check all the clothing in this closet? Yes. Or whatever it is. So then you don't have to check the whole house on Leil Bedikas. You can do stuff before, things that don't require or haner, you can do before, and then just do kind of an inventory check. You know, somebody check this, somebody check that. That's sufficient for Leil Bedikas. He says, right, you yivchon heitevim kvar niku kol makom opina mechametz, and that is vizu bedikaso, and that's the bedika. Okay. Now the Gemara talks about why we don't use a torch, meaning not in England a torch is a flashlight. In America, a torch is a torch. I mean, why can't you use a flame that has multiple wicks for Bedikas Chametz? And the Gemara has a number of reasons. One is that you can't put the torch into the cracks and crevices. Number two, the light is too dispersed. Number three is that you might be concerned that, you know, you're not going to check properly because you're worried about the torch getting too close to something flammable. And number four, the torch flickers and doesn't produce a steady light. So Rav Shlomo Zalman points out that you cannot check, let's say, your car with a candle. Why? Because, you know, the car will catch fire, and you're going to be too worried about getting too close to the areas that you need to see. So he says that and anything else of that sort, you use a flashlight as opposed to a candle. So for a lot of areas in our house, you can't use a candle to check the areas, and you're not going to check under your couch with a candle. So a flashlight is a better solution for Bedikas Chametz than a candle. You should try to get, they're becoming extinct, you should try to get an incandescent candle, because an incandescent candle has more of a dit of a ner than an LED light. Okay. Here's another shayla. This is a very common shayla. Now that we do Mechiras Chametz, let's say you're going away for Pesach, so do you have to do Bedikas Chametz? So the Mekor Chaim, who was written by Rav Yair Bachrach, the Chavos Yair, so he says that you're not exempt from Bedika just because you're selling it to the non-Jew. Right now, you own you still own the house, you still own the chametz. The chametz isn't going to be sold until the next day, and therefore, you have to do Bedika. And then the Mishnah Berurah quotes other Achronim who are Cholik. So he gives the following solution. You sell the... This is not always feasible, but if you can, if the rabbi is sailing anyway to people in Eretz Yisrael, and he's doing it early enough, so sell it on Yud Gimel. So you're gone anyway, you left the house, you're in New York already, or you're in Eretz Yisrael, or wherever you are. The chametz was sold on Yud Gimel, so if you sell the chametz before the zman of Mechiras Chametz, before the time of the Bedika kicks in, so then you're potter from Bedika, and then you don't have any shaylas. If you don't do that, so you have to figure out, like, exactly what are you looking for. So let's say you're selling all your chametz tomorrow. So I find a box of Cheerios. What am I going to do with it now? I'm not going to burn it. I'm planning on selling it. So everything that you find, you could just say, I'm planning on selling it. So what you can do, if you're going to do a Bedika with a bracha, what what might be advisable, if you're going away for Pesach, that is to say, I'm selling all the chametz except the chametz in this one particular room. You don't pick a big room, you pick a small room. Then you go with that Magen Avraham, that you just check one room, and that will be your bedikas chametz. You could do that too. But again, if everything that you find, you're planning on just saying, hey, I'm selling this anyway, and I'm locking up the whole house, so the bedikah is kind of meaningless. So you can make it meaningful, right? No. Meaning, let's say I'm selling it tomorrow. So what am I doing when I'm checking?
If you're selling it at the normal time, you can still.
Well, I'm asking you, what exactly are you doing? What are you looking for? I'm selling all my chametz tomorrow, and I'm not going to be in the house on Pesach. What exactly am I looking for at the bedikah? So anything that I find, I'll just leave there, and I'll just close the door, and shalom al Yisrael. So unless you're going to exclude a certain room from the bedikah, it's hard to figure out. If you're going away early, right? So then it's better to try to do mechiri gimel than mechiri dalet. But if not, then you could argue that you have to check. Dorm. So that's a discussion. What about rental properties? The chiyuvs on the landlord. It depends. It's all complicated sugya. But somebody has to take a chrayus. Either this was the next thing I was going to discuss. What about if you're going to you're going to your parents' house? Do you have a separate chiyuv bedika? So Rav Vosner says that the chiyuv is on the Baal HaBayis, and that's it. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that if you have a room and nobody else is allowed to come in there except you, then you would have a chiyuv. So if you're a family and you're going to somebody else's house, nobody's going to go into your room necessarily. So the Eitzah is to listen to the Baruch of the Baal HaBayis, and then the Baal HaBayis will either... You'll figure out that if you have a chiyuv bedika, so you have a chiyuv bedika. If you don't have a chiyuv bedika, you'll be his shaliach, because even in a regular case, you can have a shaliach do part of your bedika. So it's a good idea. When you have a family doing the whole bedika, you don't have to all go around with the same candle. You can split it up, and each of the kids can act as a shaliach for the Baal HaBayis.
Is there anything you have to check that?
Yeah. If you stay in a hotel, you're in a mosque.
So you have to check both places.
Theoretically, yeah. If nobody else is coming,
you make here at a certain date. You check. You clean everything meticulously. And then you take all your 10 pieces. You resort.
Yeah, you can make the argument, but the Mishnah Berurah is machmir that if you sell it after on your dalet and you leave, you have to do a bedika. So that's why he says hamocher biyud gimel adif tefei.
And say with a blessing.
In the hotel room, yeah, you'd say, unless you know for sure that it was totally checked, but the people who are checking, they're not checking for chametz, they're just cleaning it, so you have to do a bedika there.
Regardless?
Yeah. Now, what happens if, I just want to get to two more points here. I'm sorry, last point. What about a car? So is a car chayv and bedikas chametz? So the simple answer is yes, because the Rama says you have to check your pockets. So it can't be worse than your pockets. But what about if you only have pockets? Let's say you're the traveler. So you left your house, somebody else moved into your house, and you're not going to, whatever, you're going to somebody else's house, and they're doing the bedika there. So do you make a bracha just on checking the bag that you have or the pockets that you have? So most poskim say no. There is a... The Maloa Rom says that you make a bracha even if you're just checking your pockets. But most poskim say no. So what about a car? If you only have a car right now, you left your house, somebody else moved in, they're doing the bedika there, and you're going somewhere else, and they're doing the bedika where you're going, do you check your car with a bracha? Or, let's say you forgot to check your car on Leil Bedika, do you make a bracha later on, another bracha on the car? So Rav Osner says, yes, you do. There's a chiv bedika on a car, and that's it. Rav Zilberstein disagrees. He thinks a car is like a kli, and it's similar to checking your pockets. You have to check it, but there's no chiyuv bedika. If the only thing you're checking is your car, you would not make a bracha. I mean, it could be that it depends on the size of the car also. If you have a Winnebago and you live in there, I would imagine that even though it moves, there is a chiyuv bedika. It's a mobile home. And it could be that this machlokas is only about a smaller car. You know, a car that people actually live in, I think, there would be a chiyuv bedika. Okay. You can eat and keep eating.